Mr. Lazenby, reel 7.
You were going to detail holy stoning for me.
Yes. Prayer books. The holy stones were just pieces of... what do I call them now? Sandstone sort of thing. And the deck was wet with a hose and then sand sprinkled on it. And then we all got on our knees on the sand, the wet sand, and went forward scrubbing along with the grain of the wood on the planking with these great big stones crunching into the sand. And then, of course, it was washed down, and it took longer to wash the sand down and get rid of the sand off the deck than it did to clean it, you know, to scrub it, holy stone it. But that was only once a week.
Now, you said that you could always judge a ship by her boats. What did you mean by that?
Oh, well, they always said that you could judge a ship by its boats. If a boat was clean, and you often had to go alongside other ships, and of course everybody looked over the side and had a look at the boat. And if the boat was a smart boat, you knew it came from a smart ship. If it was clean, you knew it came from a clean ship. If the crew were well-dressed and smartly turned out, you knew she was a swift ship. Swift ship, we used to call
them. Yes. What special care and attention would you give to the ship boats?
Spotlessly clean. Of course, all the woodwork was done with shark skin. And it was real shark skin, but it was almost like emery cloth, or worse than that, carborundum cloth or something like that. But it was very hard. It used to go very hard until you wet it, and then it's soft, and you could scrub all your woodwork with it, and it made it beautifully white. And then, of course, there were all the other tiddly little bits, like the tiller would be sewn in white canvas, covered in white canvas, with a Turk's head at each end of the canvas, or it would be blue and white canvas on a square sennit, and double Turk's heads on the end, and that sort of thing. Those look very smart. All the oars and all the woodwork, the gratings were white as snow.
Mm. How did they get them as white as snow?
Well, it's shark skin, salt water.
They'd just clean the woodwork with shark skin, it would have that effect.
Sometimes sand and canvas. A piece of old canvas, you know, and sand rubbed in, that would do it.
You also said coaling was an awful bugbear. Why was that?
Oh, coaling. Wow. It started at 6 in the morning. It wasn't so bad in Malta because the Maltese used to do it for you. But in Gibraltar, you had to walk up planks with a basket of coal on your shoulder.
Right. I know absolutely nothing about coaling, let's assume I don't. And I want you to explain to me what coaling involved.
Oh, you've got me on something now.
Come on.
This was the worst thing that could ever happen, because you used to take up something like 400, 600 tons of coal in. And it depended on where you were, what sort of a job it was going to be. If you're in Gibraltar, you went alongside the Mole, coaling wharf, and you had planks going from the wharf up to the ship's side with just struts across, lats across for stepping. And they had baskets. You took your basket down and a gang shoveling filling the baskets up. And you put them on your shoulder and you walked up this plank and you tipped them down the coal chute. And you went down the two planks together. And you went down one and up the other. And your shoulders used to get very sore. You used to put padding on, they called a donkey's breakfast. But that was the worst of the lot, was coaling by baskets. In Malta, the Maltese did the coaling for you, but in other places you might get lighters. In Constantinople, you used to get a lighter come alongside. And two or three lighters, and we used to have to coal that way. And sometimes it was a ship with four holds. Now, if you had a ship, the hold was full. You took the hatch covers off, and the coal was level with the hatch covers, so you had no room to work. And to begin with, we had big coal bags, which were made of canvas with steel handles, and you divided up into your parts of the ship. All the forecastlemen would do the first hold, and the other people right down, and there was a competition between us. But the men were made into gangs of about four with shovels. They had one younger man or young AB or a boy to hold up the bags for them. And they'd shovel the coal into the bags, fill the bags and drag them into the centre until they had 10 bags. And then the crane used to come down, the derrick, and used to run a greasy strop right through all the handles and hook it onto the same hook. That was hoisted inboard, dropped inboard. They'd unhook one side and lift up the hook with the strop still on it, and it would unreave itself from them all. Boys would have barrows and barrow the bags of coal to the nearest chute down to their bunkers. And they were just a bunker plate in the deck. And then they would have trimmers down below trimming it as it came down the hole into the bunkers, trimming it away because it would just build up like that and jam up, you see. And, it was a terrible job because you're at it all the first thing in the morning, as soon as it's daylight and they got the lighter alongside, you started. And then they used to chalk up the number of bags you got in. And you were all one against the other. They got more bags in than we have. Oh, it was a shocking job. And then, of course, the worst of all was cleaning ship afterwards.
What did that involve?
That involved going right from top to bottom, right from the bridge downwards. And everything was just smothered in coal dust. And your mess decks were smothered in coal dust too. Everything you touched was coal dust. Down on the mess decks, the chutes would come down from the bunker plate on the forecastle head, for instance, on the forecastle deck, and come down through a hole in your mess deck, which were normally just plates, nothing between them. But on coaling day, you put a big chute between a a cylinder divided into which clamped together. And so the coal could drop straight down one, down this cylinder, to the next hole down. But of course, they weren't dustproof or anything, and the dust used to shoot out of these all over your mess deck and everything you touched. And then after you'd scrubbed the ship, washed all the paintwork, the next thing was your mess deck. You had to clean that up. And so you were on the go till about 10 o'clock at night, from first dawn in the morning, first light of dawn, calling ship. It was a dreadful business.
What sort of clothes would you wear?
Well, no, almost everybody had some clothes that he kept specially for coaling and never washed them. Well, you couldn't afford to, hang it all. But when I was a boy, we were provided with canvas suits. Now, these were shocking things because they were sail canvas. The trousers were just had a fly up the front and a piece of cod line round to tie around your waist. The jacket was a big jacket with two big patch pockets on it and leather buttons and great wide canvas sleeves. And we had two of those, and as soon as you put them in water, they became like cardboard. They were terrible things to wash. And as soon as we could, we got rid of them. I mean, but as a boy, you had to wear them, and you had to scrub the blessed things, and you had to dry them as well. Another big problem, of course, after coaling ship, was cleaning yourself and scrubbing all your clothes.
Why was that such a problem?
Because the accommodation, the bathroom accommodation, was very limited. And fresh water was also limited, and hot water was practically non-existent, because the only means you had of getting hot water for bathing or washing was to take a basin of water and put it under a steam pipe in the bathroom. They had a steam jet coming from the boiler room with a little flexible pipe on the end and a cock, and you'd put the end of this tube into your water, turn the cock on and make your water warm by putting steam into it. As a matter of fact, that's how the way you used to boil stuff in the galley. Steam, boil the soup and that sort of thing. And the bathroom itself was very small, no ventilation to it hardly, no portholes in it because it was down below the waterline. And so it was a case of getting on deck with buckets, anything you could get hold of. And then everybody would strip off on deck and swill down, get as much coal as they could off themselves. But always you were left with black eyes. Because your eyes, the coal got into your eyes, onto the tears in your eyes, you know, the moisture in your eyes, and it would stick there in your eyelashes for 2 or 3 days afterwards. You could always tell when you'd been coaling ship. But oh, it was a dreadful job that was.
Did you ever get any form of sort of encouragement to sort of keep morale up?
Yes, they kept on publishing every 5 minutes who was winning. How many bags you got in? Come on, you. And because some jobs were easy, but others were very, very difficult. The winch men in particular had a very dangerous job. normally we use the winches on the boat, on the collier, and you're provided with gloves. But if you've got a jagged piece of wire, in the because it was wire, of course, the wire horses from the drum, and it caught in your gloves, you whip your hand right around that drum and take your hand off in no time. And then two or three hands crushed and that sort of thing.
Were there any other kinds of injuries that took place during coaling?
Oh, mostly winchmen and dropping the bags on people, and that sort of thing. Because, as I said, this strop went round all the steel handles of 10 bags of coal, and it was a double strop, you know, like an endless piece of rope. And one end was hooked over the hook on the derrick, and the other, it went double right through, and the other bite hung on. Now, when you dropped it on deck, you just hooked one half. Now, that left this strop going right round all the handles, and they hoisted away, and they were quick to get it off the ground and get the thing away and down again. Sometimes a bag would jam, and it wouldn't slide off. And it'd be high up in the air before it did slide off, and it might catch somebody quite easily. A bag of coal coming down, hopefully. It would not do anything.
Yes. Were there any particular accidents that you remember?
I remember one boy getting his finger torn off. Now, that was a strange thing because he wore a ring on his finger. And a jagged piece of wire got under the ring and just tore his finger right out. I never wore a ring. Never had a ring at all.
On the question of keeping men's morale up, were there any other ways of doing that during coaling?
During coaling? Well, there was a competition between the four different sections of the ship, the four different holes.
I wondered if the band would play.
The band were... Yes, they would be playing too. They would be playing during the dinner hour especially. They were about the only people who were excused, you know, and people on watch. But almost everyone had to be up there.
During coaling operations, what about breaks for meals and rum issue?
Oh, you broke for meals all right, but it was limited. And the cooks of the galley used to go and get you food ready just the same, but oh, it was hopeless eating in on the mess deck, which smothered in coal. Nobody bothered to wash their hands even while I got a meal.
You get a rum issue during coaling?
A what?
A rum issue? A rum issue during coaling?
Well,
during
everyone coaling. Got. No, the rum issue was just the same. There's no extra rum, but yeah. The rum was issued just the same at 12 o'clock.
Did washing paint work only take place after coaling?
No, it always took place after coaling, but then, of course, during the whole of the time when somebody was washing paintwork somewhere, we had a side party whose job it was to keep the side of the ship clean. They did nothing else but wash paintwork. When it dropped anchor, they'd paint the chain from the waterline to the hosepipe, you see. You can have a rusty chain over, and they were always busy painting the bottom line and keeping it straight, sort of thing. Good.
Now, canteen messing, as existed at this time, was a fairly complex procedure. The rations that you got consisted of canteen supplies on the one hand and standard rations issued by the paymaster on the other. What did standard rations consist of?
The standard rations from the paymaster were bread, baked on the ship, of course, tea, sugar, milk, jam, potatoes, meat, flour. That was about all, I think. Just tin milk, of course.
Now, these were issued to the messes, but were there any extra rations which you could get through the paymaster?
Yes. These were issued daily, but you could buy extra flour, sugar, tea, jam, milk, almost anything. Dried fruits, apple rings we used to get, raisins and currants and that sort of thing. All dry, non-perishable foods you could get from the paymaster. You couldn't get fresh stuff.
Could you buy anything apart from potatoes for the sort of, you know, for the rice?
And that sort of thing? Oh, yes, you could get rice.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, at one time in the Black Sea, we had nothing else but rice instead of potatoes.
Now, the canteen supplies, what did they consist of?
They were almost everything else you wanted to feed yourself on. All the fresh stuff, like bacon and eggs, fresh fruit and vegetables, salads, sausages, almost anything you could think of that you wanted to eat that was perishable and that could be got at short intervals.
I see. Now, that part of your meals which you had to buy, how much money did you have to pay for it?
I don't remember how much, but we got a victualling allowance, and I can't remember how much that was. We just paid the ordinary prices that were prevalent at the time in Malta. Some places were dearer than others.
Okay. Now, this victualling allowance, how was it sort of administered?
It was put to your credit, and at the end of the month, the money you'd spent with the canteen manager and the money you'd spent with the paymaster were taken into account, and if you had spent less than your allowance, the money was given back to you in hard cash, what we called mess savings. If you'd overspent, you paid a mess bill.